You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Thursday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:40pm with Gordon Brown, Gary Capewell and Chris Pimlott in the studio. We've got racing on the flat at Brighton, on the all-weather tappeta at Newcastle and over the obstacles at Warwick on Thursday afternoon. More action in the evening as well on the polytrack at Chelmsford City. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Dale Gibson. How are you, Dale?
Very well, thank you, Mark.
Good. Good man. Bit of news to start with, Dale, and then we'll get stuck into Thursday's racing. Big news from Ireland that Jiggins Town have removed 60 horses from Willie Mullins' camp after a bit of a falling out, by all accounts.
Big number, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah, bit of a shock. I would imagine it's a bit of a shock to the Mullins team and their staff. You know, one of the most successful trainers either side of the Irish Sea in a generation. Seems to have the stranglehold on all the major Grade One races, both sides of the Irish Sea. Always has his horses in the peak of condition, and just seems a little bit of a strange one. But it's certainly an opportunity for some fresh faces to maybe benefit from that. And these things do go in cycles. Interesting to see whether any come over to England. There's an opportunity maybe for some of those horses who maybe aren't quite Grade One now to come and maybe put the toe in the water, so to speak, in England, and see how they get on. It's a bit of a shock.
Yeah, big number of horses. A couple of nice ones there as well, and the Don Polly and Apples Jade.
Yeah, some solid horses. You know, who have done well over the years, and certainly have got some more big days in them. So, and no doubt some fresh horses who maybe haven't quite reached their potential yet.
Yeah. If you were to guess where they might send them, any ideas?
Your guess is as good as mine, but will they send them all to 1 yard? Unlikely. Who can take 60 horses? The season's just starting.
Yeah.
I would imagine they're going to split them up just in case somebody had a little bit of a slow start with them, then go from there.
Yeah. All right. Other news to talk about. We'll move on to Heartbreak City, who has been partially sold to Australian thoroughbred Bloodstock, and will run in the Melbourne Cup. So that's the news with him today.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a step up from the Ebor. He was a very impressive winner of the Ebor, and they've probably done well to sell an interest over there. But it's a big money gig, and if he can pick up some prize money, then he'll be helping to pay for himself. But he has to obviously travel. He has to be on the top of his game because it's a fearsome race. I mean, 25-1, you know, Big Orange, good horse in his own right. Idaho, if he can get over his stumble in the ledger, I don't know quite what plans are with him. Bondi Beach, you know, so there's a whole bunch of horses there. Protectionist, I think, actually wants a bit more juice in the ground unless it rains. Hartnell, will he stay? Don't know. Got to be open to doubts whether he'll truly get a, you know, 2 mile end to end gallop there. But it's still a little bit early. We're still in September, and no doubt that those markets will change in the next couple of weeks. But you know, maybe they're thinking he's a guaranteed stayer, and he goes on top of the ground.
Yeah.
You know, probably worse purchases.
Yep, worse 25-1 shots as well, probably.
Yep.
So that's Melbourne Cup then, a bit closer to home. We've got some real good racing coming up this weekend on these shores. We've got the Sun Chariot, which is a group run at Newmarket, plenty of good racing at Ascot, including a big Heritage Handicap, and then of course on Sunday we've got Ark Day at Shawntee with 7 group ones on the card.
It is just fantastic, isn't it? I mean, where do you start? It's depth is fantastic. Alice Springs in the Sun Chariot, Persuasive, who ran so well in Ireland, meeting her first defeat there. She's going to be having another bite at the cherry. It's going to be an interesting race. Rev there as well from the Jean-Claude Rouget yard. So it's wide open. But yeah, great card at Newmarket. Good card at Redcar for the gold trophy, and terrific action in France as well.
What do you make of the of the arc? Did you have a fancy at the
moment? I think there's going to be luck in running, without a doubt, because remember, it's Chanty as opposed to being Longchamp.
Yeah.
So position, track position is going to be vital. But Postponed is pretty adept at wherever he runs. He can sit up on the front end, or he can come from off the pace. So I think Andrea Zini will be just be seeing where he is in the first couple of furlongs, and then going from there, really. But he's the one they've all got to beat. Found, you know, she's been knocking at the door all year, really. Just keeps running into one. I was slightly disappointed with Order of St George last time in Ireland, 1-7. I don't know. That was a disappointing run. So it points at the moment to Postponed, but I'd just maybe like to see the draw before I had a real firm view on it.
Yeah.
Because if anything drawn out wide there, it's going to need a bit of luck. Historically, you know, badly drawn horses in France are generally, you know, at a disadvantage.
Yeah. There are slight exceptions to the rule, of course. Trev from a bad draw one year, and the real good horses get away with it. Is Postponed in that bracket?
I wouldn't quite say he's a Trev, but he's a high class horse, isn't he? You can't knock what he's done. He's been in terrific form this year, and you know, back end of last year as well.
Mm. 7-4 favourite at the moment, Postponed. Makahiki is 5-1. Positive reports about the Japanese horse.
Yep.
Found is 7-1. 8-1 Harzand. Also a few positives. Apparently Harzand's over the injury that cost him last time. Yep. New Bay 14s. Order of St George 14s. 20s.
Yeah, New Bay would enter each way calculations, I think. Harzand, not so sure whether he just peaked in the first half of the season. I would be slightly negative on Harzand.
Okay.
Personally. Just for the feel of the race.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll obviously move on to that closer to the time. It takes place on Sunday. You'll be able to hear all of that on William Hill Racing Radio on Sunday as well. Right now, though, we're going to concentrate on Thursday's action. Dale's got four races prepared for us. We'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, then we'll spin through these in chronological order, starting in the 210 at Newcastle. This is a Class 4 nursery over a mile. Therefore, we've got the two-year-olds in action here. Seven of them to go to Postdale. Which ones did you like?
Yeah, funnily enough, I was at Ayr when Davy's Dilemma was fifth in what was a pretty warm contest. As long as he's got over that race well, no reason why he hasn't. He's got to enter calculations. Having won previously at Redcar, he was a little bit further back than ideal from an outside stall. Then he came round the field. Had he maybe just waited Paul running that day and gone inside, he would have probably been right on top of him, probably would have finished third. So he did run a good race that day. But for me, the horse that's maybe going forward quickest of all, and I think he's well handicapped, is Zimran from the David Simcook yard. He's got a very good strike rate at Newcastle, Simcook. This horse has had a run on the all-weather when he was second at Wolverhampton on his second start. On the back of his Yarmouth victory, he's getting £3 off the top weight. One or two of these others are just sort of maybe where they are in the handicap. So Zimran for me in the opener.
Zimran and the selection for Dale there in the 210 at Newcastle. Moving on to the 250 at Brighton next. This is a Class 5 handicap over just short of a mile and a quarter. We've got 12 of them to go to post here, Dale. Several of them in worse form than perhaps you'd like to see.
Yeah, and I think course form is very important as well here. Lord Reason has won up the track. Had every chance last time, just levelled out. Maybe the handicap has just got him now off a mark of 75. However, I would give a chance to Solveig Song. Steve Woodman's mare's got this mare in great form. Eddie Greatrix takes off a valuable £3, disqualified from winning last time out, and has done nothing wrong all year. So Solveig Song for me, course and distance form always stacks up. One over this trip and plenty going for Solveig Song. I would just give a tiny little mention to Gannicus, who won last year's Ledger Legends race under Sir A.P. McCoy. He's not won at a mile and a quarter, but he's handicapped to win. He's off 67 here. And bearing in mind he won the Legends last year off 70, he tried to get in the Legends race and just missed the cut,
yeah,
which suggests that he's maybe in teeing him up. So if you think Gannicus can stay, he might represent value if you just want to have a little tickle at one, but I'll just go along with Solvig's Song to win.
Couple to consider there then in the 250 at Brighton. A bit of jumping next to 340 at Warwick. This is a Class 3 handicap hurdle over 2 miles. We've got a field of seven to go to post here. Miss Estella and Northern Meeting both arrive here in winning form. Dale, either of those talking shortlist?
Yeah, Northern Meeting, I think, probably got to step up a little bit on what he achieved last time. He's had a run on the flat since then. Robert Stevens just keeping his mind on the job. Probably just got to improve his overall profile. I wouldn't completely put you off. It's a shame we haven't got the dead eight. We've got another seven-runner handicap, which is so frustrating. Barman's been kept busy by, excuse the pun, by Nicky Henderson. He's quite a young horse, but he's been kept on the go all year. You could say the handicap has got him. He did start winning off 113. Now he's off 123. So he's £10 higher than his initial winning mark. So it could just be the handicap has got him, but you can never rule out a Henderson horse. He's a bit of a freshen up from his last start, 5 weeks, just to freshen him up. Nico de Bonville in the plate. It's a tight betting heat, this, and I would suggest small stakes because I have a lot of time for the Warren Greatrex Yard, Gavin Sheehan, real top firm, Miss Estella. She won earlier in the spring, £5 higher, wouldn't completely rule her out. I would just maybe leave this race late. If you're having a bet, watch the market moves, and just keep stakes small. But I wouldn't put you off Barman returning to winning form.
Okay, Barman at the moment then, but keep an eye on the market. And the 340 at Warwick, and we finish off in the 740 at Chelmsford City. This one is a Class 4 handicap over a mile. We've got a field of 15 set to go to post for this one. Dale, nice, easy race to finish.
Oh, yeah, I wish we had the dead 16 because we could probably nick a bit of each way value. A couple of horses here I quite like. Stosur, Gay Calloway, Josephine Gordon, the excellent Josephine Gordon, taking off a valuable £3, drawn in stall one. So got the benefit of going the shortest route here. I definitely include Stosur in your calculations. And I would also include Rosenborg Rider, Rafe Beckett, Franberry, Blinkers first time, Ramwell last time, adequately drawn in stall seven, lightly raced. Blinkers may have a positive effect, and only a three-year-old. So just watch the market. Stosur has improved, and he's probably more the sort of each-way selection. And I would just be edging Rosenborg Rider, Blinkers first time, three-year-old that is unexposed. So just edge Rosenborg Rider.
Rosenborg Rider then, selection for Dale in the 740 at Chelmsford City. As usual, let's just have a quick summary before you go. Just relay your selections for us.
Newcastle 210, Zimran for David Simcook and Jamie Spencer. In the Brighton 250, I'll go with Solvig's Song for Steve Woodman and Edward Greatrex. In the 340 at Warwick, I'll still tow along with Nicky Henderson's Barman. Hopefully he can serve it up there at Warwick in the 340. And then the 740 at Chelmsford, it's a trappy event, but Rosenborg Rider, Blinkers first time, will do for me.
Superb, good work, Dale. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy it on Thursday.
Thank you.
There you go, the thoughts of Dale Gibson on Thursday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:40 p.m. with Gordon Brown, Gary Capewell and Chris Pimlott in the studio. It's Brighton, Newcastle and Warwick on Thursday afternoon and Chelmsford City to provide the action in the evening. Plenty to get stuck into. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Thursday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.